In a competitive tech world, companies are always looking to the latest trend to keep their employees productive and happy at the office. But a new study suggests that employees are actually happiest when they're simply pretending to work from home. The study from tech and consulting giant IBM found employees felt overall more focused and content with their jobs when doing personal tasks like catching up on laundry or their favorite TV shows when they should be working.
I just make sure that I send some emails to my supervisor first thing in the morning so he thinks I'm up and working, but then I just go right back to bed.
I never have to deal with rush hour traffic or anything. I just walk across the room, sit down at my desk, and start browsing through my Twitter feed immediately.
The trend is making its way to the country's most influential tech companies like Google, where employees are encouraged to put in 12 empty hours of work a week from their homes. The study hasn't swayed every company, however. Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer said in a statement, "At Yahoo, we prefer that our employees pretend to work side by side right here in our offices." Next up, Apple's new summer iPhone soaks you with mosquito repellent to keep you bite-free throughout the year's hottest months.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
anything into the fog, y'all. Make it look like a ghost. But tonight, let's not become tragedies. We are not funeral homes with propane tanks in our windows looking like cemeteries. Cemeteries are just the earth's way of not letting go. Let go. Tonight, poets, let's turn our wrists so far backwards the razor blades and our pencil tips can't get a good angle on all that beauty inside. Step into this with your airplane parts. Move forward and repeat after me with your heart.
Repeat after me with your heart.
I no longer need you to fuck me as hard as I hated myself. Make love to me. Like you know I am better than the worst thing I ever did. Go slow. I'm new to this, but I have seen nearly every city from a rooftop without jumping. I have realized that the moon did not have to be full for us to love it, that we are not tragedies stranded here beneath it, that if our hearts really broke every time we fell from love, I'd be able to offer you confetti by now. But hearts don't break, y'all. They bruise and get better. We were never tragedies. We were emergencies. You call 911. Tell them I'm having a fantastic time. Tell them I'm having a fantastic time. Go on. We did it. Why don't you live so God can use you anyway, Lord, any time?
Why don't you live so? God can use you any way you go, any time.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
This is Edwin Newman inviting you to meet the press with the two leaders of CORE.
Meet the Press, winner of every major award in its field, is a public affairs presentation of NBC News.
Our guests today on Meet the Press are Floyd B. McKissick, National Director of CORE, and Roy Innes, Associate National Director, who will serve as Acting Director during Mr. McKissick's coming leave of absence. We'll have the first questions now from Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
That is the whether or not we can really have a nonviolent society. What do you think the prospects are for nonviolence in this country in this time of unusual recrimination?
Well, I think that we've coined too much behind that phrase of nonviolence. This nation has never believed in a theory of nonviolence. We're fighting a war now in Vietnam. The country was born out of a violent struggle. This country, the original 13 original colonists, fought a war to be free from Britain, to set up. And they came up with the doctrine known as the Declarations of Independence, in which they say we separate ourselves. And the 13 original colonists fought war after war to establish itself as a nation. I think inherently in this society that so long as violence is practiced on a national level, we have the H-bomb, the A-bomb, and we continue to develop mace and arsenals to deal with black people on the streets this summer. I think that it's hard for you to say that we advocate nonviolence when you're doing all of these things to make people really see that you exert your power through violence.
The University of Cincinnati police officer charged with murdering an unarmed black man pleaded not guilty today at his arraignment hearing. Bond for 25-year-old Ray Tensing was set at $1 million. Tensing shot 43-year-old driver Samuel DuBose on July 19th after pulling him over for missing a front license plate. The incident was recorded on the officer's body camera. Here's what happened. A warning. This is disturbing.
I'm asking you a direct question. Do you have your license on?
I thought I'd be behind the scene. What did you pull me over for?
Again, the front tag.
Is it an accident? But it's not even going to have a front tag.
Okay. Actually, it is. I'm going to ask you again. You have a license on you?
I have a license. You can run my name.
Okay. Is that not on you then?
I don't think I have it on me.
Well, until I can figure out if you have a license or not, go ahead and take your seatbelt off.
I ain't even doing that.
Go ahead and take your seatbelt off. Stop!
The Hamilton County prosecutor will be using the tape as key evidence at the trial. He appeared on Fox News this morning.
It just turns my stomach that a police officer would act like this. Some of the best people I work with are police officers, and all of them in the last 24 hours have come up to me and said, look, this was horrible. He needs to be held accountable. He is a murderer. I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
Tensing's attorney says his client feared for his life and did not intend to kill DuBose. All right, so a lot of facial expressions around the table here on that. You said, Eric, this is a tough one.
It's tough because, look, first of all, it's a tragedy. I mean, there's no another instance where someone had a missing front license plate and ends up dead. If you watch, by the way, body cams, if this doesn't tell you, there should be body cams on both sides of the debate. Good cop, bad cop, no matter what, the body cam will end up being the most important piece of evidence in the trial. But everyone is rushing. This prosecutor just said the cop is guilty of murder. He's already kind of, indicted him. And I'm not defending this at all, but people have to realize you can't resist arrest. And this guy is taking off. I don't think that cop was fearing for his life, so I think he'll probably be found guilty of something.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying this is unnecessary. Why put yourself also in danger?
Time and time again. It always comes down to someone getting hurt, getting killed, bad decisions by a cop, but those decisions wouldn't have been made if the perp didn't run away.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What is Fox News? It's just a parade of propaganda, isn't it? It's just a festival of ignorance.
Got him soaked up, looking like he spent the night getting hosed up. Smoke a butt, lit it off the stove and rush your focus up. When they break your bread, they never broke enough. Just another day of waiting for tomorrow. Situation got him pacing at the crossroads. Staccato, face full of nostrils. Heart beating like you getting chased on that cop show. He's sick of getting cut short on a stick again. They sitting pretty but won't let the business in. Projecting bricks of aggression, protect your section, don't covet the next man's. I know you frustrated, must hate it. Maybe stuck in a ditch when a revolution's updated. Some make it and get upgraded. Every little prick wanna fuck Lady Luck butt naked. That's why I overreact, like you opened your lap and gave birth to a swarm of rats. Somebody should've warned your ass. It's worse to crash than to run out of gas. Forever stuck like a tattoo.
No meal.
Go check your gut and snap too.
Don't feel.
Getting up under a bad moon.
So deal.
Get the fuck out of the vacuum.
Go real.
Can't thief advantage of.
No meal.
Can't eat handshakes and hugs.
Don't feel.
Can't sleep, so take them drugs.
So deal.
Can't see which way is up.
Go real.
Can't thief advantage of.
No meal.
Can't eat handshakes and hugs.
Don't feel.
Can't sleep, so take them drugs.
So deal.
Can't see which way is up.
Boar's head helmet, long and a tooth. I walk a three-headed dog, I call him Duck Duck Goose. Ooze through the cookie aisle, hands down marvelous. Possibly escorting 100-handers at a Tartarus. Man's damp claws stack adorable cash and flip a cardboard crown like a spork in a mash. Stonewalling, two knees knock on a tucked tail. Swan song wrong, flower top thumbnails. Pop, the Mop 1 hotel robe and a Plymouth Duster. 86th from his given infrastructure. Beer to his feet that filter his Hail Marys. In a cup of near cartoon stars and canaries. Kid Schroeder, ivory's picked over. Parts marched out to sea on sick shoulders. Broadcast images of 3D art litter and the diagonal arrow in your bleeding heart sticker. People of Earth, we are not as we are seeming. The radio is on, but the dialogue isn't breathing. That's why my people drive along leaning back into the fires that forged the whole evening. Speeding.
No real.
Users get excited on the turnpike.
No meal.
Ticket, no brakes, no birthright.
Don't feel.
Nothing. Sleep days, work nights.
So deal.
And stay the fuck out of the searchlight.
No real.
Can't thief advantage of.
No meal.
Can't eat handshakes and hugs.
Don't feel.
Can't sleep, so take them drugs.
So deal.
Can't see which way is up.
No real.
Can't thief advantage of.
No meal.
Can't eat handshakes and hugs.
Don't feel.
Can't sleep, so take them drugs.
So deal.
Can't see which way is up.
No real. No meal. Don't feel. So deal.
Years ago, I got a job writing at Saturday Night Live. My first week writing at Saturday Night Live, Megan Fox was the host. And you can meet with the host to talk about your sketch. So a producer comes around, said, hey, do you want Megan Fox to come by your office? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Are you creating a situation where Megan Fox has to talk to me? Hell yeah. So to give you some background on the sketch I wrote for her, I'm a big fan of scatting and music, not scatting shit on people. Gotta be clear for people. Because I always wonder how scatting started. I pitched two singers in the back of a club. One of them, hey man, did you write your song for tonight? Nah, I only wrote half of it. What are you gonna do? I think I'm gonna sing that half and the rest I'm singing gibberish. You can't sing gibberish. Listen, man, these people are drunk. We got a band back here with us. If I feel like I sell it, we can just do some rhythmic gibberish. And he goes out there, skibbity-bop-bop, beat-a-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop. And people go crazy for gibberish. He's walking off stage all cocky. The other guy's like, whatever, when you write, you write. So I wrote a sketch where Megan Fox was a horror movie villain that killed her victims with scatting. Yeah, it didn't make it to television at all. It didn't deserve to make it to television. But what's cool about SNL is that all the sketches get read through, so Megan Fox had to scat in a room full of people. Skip it a bop bop! Shum ding ding boom boom bing ding 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 ding
Chicken, 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 ch Pretty baby, snap. Click, 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 all night long. Click, 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 click. Beep, 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 That's all, folks.
Thank you so much.
When you've got a song stuck in your head, there's two reactions. Oh my God, I love this song. If I sing this song one more time. Well, it's not just that they're catchy or annoying. There's actually some science behind why these songs lodge themselves inside our heads and repeat on an endless loop. So if you're a budding songwriter, you're gonna be like, okay, I need something catchy. But it turns out you actually need a song where the chorus is repeated frequently throughout whilst using limited vocabulary. Researchers in California have said the concept of processing fluency means that these kind of songs are very sticky on our brains. We basically get excited about things that are easily understood. And I can agree with that one. The less thinking, the better, right? If it's easier, it feels better. If it feels better, my brain tells me I like it more. And if I have a positive feeling about something because it's familiar, then I like it even more. Other features are notes with longer durations but smaller pitch intervals, meaning that the tune is limited and there's more time spent on each note, which then makes it easier to sing. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. The songs also likely to stick in your head tend to be predictable, again so that the brain feels comfortable repeating it off its own accord. Obviously though, like is a relative term. Just because it's in your head all day, it doesn't mean that you're loving it.
Notebook, steady rocking on the tape as I just blow wood. I'm so fly, never simple and plain though. Umbrella type of guy, never covered in rain. So I say yo, proud to be an MC. I flow the flavor that be fitting in the mix. I let it be, I'm being real about it. But everybody has a feel about it. I let you know I rock a microphone with or without it. I never let your hair set hang loose. I boost the rhythm of your body when I'm rhyming on the loop. I'm on the stoop, stupid. I ain't street, I pave a way for myself. Never be needing that reason I'm myself. Well, I let it dwell, hoping minds to your mind. One time for my peoples that be hearing my rhyme.
Stepping on my rhyme, spending all my time writing all these lines. Sometimes it's cold outside, so I bring out my coat tonight to cover my flow of
stepping
life.
Stepping on my rhymes, spend it on my time.
Riding on my lines, sometimes it's cold outside.
So I bring out my coat tonight,
yeah, man,
to cover my flow of life.
When we step into the music, it's on. All we need is a beat for us to reach for the microphone. The rap from wrong,
Skidgy and the jazz out of rehab. When we off the record, we gotta put the needle back.
Step into the music, it's on. All we need is a beat for us to reach for the microphone. The rock from wrong,
Skidgy and the jazz.
We stacking these lines, man, we making a mountain. We making a mountain, we making a mountain. Making a mountain of these lines on lines. Making a mountain, making a mountain. Making a mountain of these lines
on
lines.
Again, but hey, extra, extra news today is if you ain't a hit today, then it's the day that you're outdated. So the sound we creating is that what we wanna hear, what we share, so just take it or leave it there. A millionaire, I never knew, not ever will be. I write rhymes instead of checks, call me P. Skidgy. And I can spit on any beat, any song, cause all I have to do is call my brain with my headphones. And my girl's a singer-songwriter also, and so I gotta be a little careful with my lyrics, y'all. And I don't mind if it's my music that you do not like, cause if that's so, I'm just not your stereotype. It's what it is, and it is my shit. And so I'm only honored if I'm there on your shit list. I've done did this, that's why I'm forever, but that only matters if you let it, get it?
Stepping on my rhymes, spending all my time writing all these lines. Sometimes it's cold outside, so I bring out my coat tonight to cover my flow of
stepping
life.
Stepping on my rhymes, spend it on my time.
Riding on my lines, sometimes it's cold outside.
So I bring out my coat tonight to cover my flow of life.
I live in America. I can eat anything I want. I turn vegan. I'm a traitor. Not even eating half the shit I can eat. It's tough telling people you're a vegan, man. They get upset with you. You're a vegan? What the fuck is your problem? Your parents know about this shit? Hey, hey, calm down, homeless dude. We both ain't eating. You know, the messed up part about being a vegan is that I don't even know if this shit really works. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep it real. I don't know if this really works. Like, the only way I know if this works is if I live a long time. And then everybody I wanted to prove a point to is dead. They won't even be around to see that this shit really worked. And then if I die early, there's going to be a whole bunch of unhealthy people clowning me at my funeral. You know what I'm saying? Look at a dead, healthy vegan. I told you that shit didn't work. You wasted valuable bacon eating time. I eat pork balls and I'm alive. We'll squeeze out some pork ball juice for the dead, healthy vegan way here. I'm disrespectful. I got on a 9-piece leather suit at your funeral. My socks is made out of leather. I don't care. My feet are sweating. I don't give a fuck. I got a belt made out of sausage links. Look at this. Look at this. Goes all the way around. Look at this. I got a handkerchief made out of ham. It's a handkerchief. I just ate my handkerchief at your funeral. Meanwhile, I'm laying in my casket going, dude, I died in a plane crash. Everybody died. This ain't got nothing to do with diet. What type of priest are you? Who invited you to this funeral? You know what the toughest part about being a vegan is? Is telling your black family. when you go visit on a holiday that you're not going to eat your mother's cooking. It's offensive, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was easier for my brother to tell my family he was gay than it was for me to tell him I'm a vegan, you know what I'm saying? Like, my father was like, listen, if your brother can put a dick in his mouth, you can eat meat. Yeah, Dad, I'm not sure you know what a vegan is. It's got nothing to do with sexuality, you know what I'm saying? Good thing is, I can eat meat anytime I want. This is some choice-ish, you know what I'm saying?
Nutrition, one of the biggest buzzkill topics you can bring up. But dude, somebody's got to do the homework on what we're eating. I get that. But now that meat increases your risk of cancer, I just can't. Oh, didn't know that, did you? Me neither. When I saw the headline, I was actually eating something that once had hopes and dreams of its own. Chicken. I was eating chicken. It said, eating animal protein makes you die young. Well, it was a lot more intelligent than that, but no less terrifying. Did some reading, and new studies indicate that high protein diets, also known as the American diet, can increase your risk of cancer as much as smoking cigarettes can. Here are some details. Your age affects your risk. In the studies, people from 50 to 65 with a diet that's about 20% meat, which is typical, were 4 times more likely to die of cancer. And this is comparable to cancer rates in smokers. Basically, the experts are saying we should cut down our meat intake by at least half. Now, I did find some interesting facts in a scientific publication called Cell Metabolism. Cancer is basically the out-of-control growth of cells. Consuming meat can affect the levels of growth hormones in your body, whether it's organic or not. These natural hormones have a lot to do with cell growth, which is a good thing until it's out of control. Would you consider eating about half as much meat for the sake of your cell?
Rights group has been granted a court hearing in which it will argue that two chimpanzees, who live at a New York State University, cannot be held captive because they're autonomous, intelligent creatures. A New York State judge has issued an order called a writ of habeas corpus, requiring the State University of New York to defend its right to keep the primates Hercules and Leo. A writ of habeas corpus requires a person to be released from unlawful imprisonment. In what is said to be the first case of its kind in the world, The Non-Human Rights Project claims that because chimpanzees are autonomous, intelligent creatures, their captivity amounts to unlawful imprisonment. They want the pair of chimps, who are used in research on physical movement at the university, to be sent to a sanctuary in Florida called Save the Chimps. Under the law, such orders can only be granted to legal persons. So the judge would need to find that chimpanzees have at least some limited rights traditionally reserved for humans. The group is hoping a victory could spur similar cases on behalf of elephants, dolphins, whales, and other intelligent animals.
One week there was a monkey written into the opening monologue, and then the day before the show we got a message saying we had to write new jokes because the monkey isn't available anymore. Which makes me picture a monkey on the phone like, yeah, I don't want to do Saturday Night Live anymore. I don't like that show. That show sucks. It hasn't been funny since the 70s. Like, damn, that monkey's kind of mean, and he's over-romanticizing the Belushi era.
This is, or I should say was, Cecil the Lion, beautiful animal, 13 years old. He'd been wearing a GPS collar as part of an Oxford University research project. They've been tracking him for years, and during that time, Cecil became like a local favorite amongst the tourists and the guides. He was always around. People loved to see him on safaris until earlier this month when a tourist on a hunting trip shot him for sport. And of course, everyone is angry and upset. Last night, I read this story. I happened upon the story in the news report. Said they suspected it was a Spaniard who did it, who shot the animal. And I have to admit, when I saw it, I was so relieved it wasn't an American. I really was. I was like, this is terrible, but thank God it wasn't one of us for once. And then I went online this morning and learned that turns out it was an American. It was one of us. It was a dentist from Minnesota who paid $50,000 to shoot the lion. According to the news, he hired a company. He flew to Zimbabwe. Two locals took him to the national park. They tied a dead animal to the back of a Jeep to lure the lion out of the park because it's illegal to shoot them in the park. They call it baiting. And once they got the lion out of the park, they put a spotlight on him, and then the dentist shot Cecil with a bow and arrow. But the arrow didn't kill the lion, so they tracked him and 40 hours later shot him with a gun, skinned him, and took the head and left the body there. Now, unfortunately for them, the researchers at Oxford who were tracking Cecil were able to trace the signal and find the carcass, and the local authorities found the hunters, who they say they realized too late that they shot an animal with GPS. They tried to destroy the tracking collar, but failed to do that. So they know who it was. The American hunter, whose name is Walt Palmer, is currently in hiding. He closed his dental office in Bloomington, Minnesota, and he emailed a statement to the news saying, I had no idea that the lion I took was a known local favorite until the end of the hunt. Which, first of all, stop saying you took the animal. You take aspirin. You killed the lion. You didn't take it. And he continued, he said, to my knowledge, everything about this trip was legal and properly handled. I relied on the expertise of my local professional guides to ensure a legal hunt. Which, okay, good. Let's say we accept at face value that he thought it was legal and properly handled and didn't know the lion had a tracking collar. It was a local affair. The big question is, why are you shooting a lion in the first place? I mean, I'm honestly curious to know why a human being would feel compelled to do that. How is that fun? Is it that difficult for you to get an erection that you need to kill things that are stronger than you? If that's the case, they have a pill for that. It works great. Just stay home and swallow it, and you save yourself a lifetime of being the most hated man in America who never advertised Jell-O pudding on television. And by the way, I'm not against hunting. If you're hunting to eat or to help keep the animal population healthy, or it's a part of your culture or something, that's one thing. But if you're some a-hole dentist who wants a lion's head over the fireplace in his man cave so his douchebag buddies can gather around it and drink scotch and tell him how awesome he is, that's just vomitous. And this guy must have quite a collection of animal heads because, here he is posing next to a bear he shot. In 2008, he was convicted of a felony for lying about where he killed a bear in Wisconsin. He got a year probation for that. This is another lion he killed in 2008. This is a leopard. This is a rhino. He killed like half of Noah's Ark. And I don't get it. I also don't think it's the answer is to start a witch hunt for the guy. Some people online are saying we should skin him and feed him to the lions, or which it's crazy, but it should be handled in a lawful way. And the men who took him out of the Jeep should be made accountable, too. But in the meantime, I think it's important to have some good come out of this disgusting tragedy. So this is the website for the Wildlife Conservation Research Unit at Oxford, wildcru.org. These are the researchers who put the collar on Cecil in the first place. They track the animals and study them. If you want to do something, if you want to make this into a positive, you can, sorry. Okay, I'm good. Make a donation, support them. At the very least, maybe we can show the world that not all Americans are like this jackhole here.
If we could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting to a chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting to a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals, learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. We'd study elephants and eagles, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea. We would converse in polar bear and python, and we would curse in fluent a kangaroo. If people ask us, can you speak rhinoceros? Yeah, we'd say, of course of us. Can't you? If we confer with our furry friends, man to animal, think of all the things we could discuss. If we could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to us.
And Jack Hanna joins us now from Montana. He is director emeritus of the Columbus Zoo and has spent time on that very animal reserve that Cecil appears to have been lured from in Africa. Mr. Hanna, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I gotta ask you, what was your reaction when you first heard the news about Cecil?
Well, you can imagine working with animals for almost 40 years now. Actually, my wife and I danced to Born Free in 1968 when we were married. So we've raised lions, by the way. The thing is, people have to understand something. In 1947, when I was born, there were about 450,000 lions. In the mid-70s, when my kids were born, there were about 100,000. Today, there are less than 30,000. And I went to film there first in the late 70s, early 80s. There were lions everywhere. But now today, obviously, their numbers have dropped, and that's a serious thing. So as far as what happened, you know, real quickly, there are about four things here. You know, I wasn't there, you weren't there. Yeah. Number one, this animal was habituated. What does that mean? Habituated means, and by the way, I filmed the exact same place in 2011. So habituated means the researchers study the animals every day from a distance. That animal knows that. That lion knew that for 15 years or so, right? So when you go up to this animal, you don't get out of your car because it would consume you. But being habituated means they sit there. So that's number one, is habituated animal, which means it's not tame, it's just there, like a cow sitting in a field. That's number one. Number two is, then all of a sudden, you go there and you drag a carcass across from the protected side over to the hunting side, and that was proven that they drug the carcass for the animal to be drugged over into that area where he could be hunted by a bow and arrow. Now, someone said that the man might not have seen the collar on the lion. Well, if that was a rifle, maybe that's true, but I was there when they were collaring the lions, by the way, so therefore you could see that collar if it's a bow and arrow. So there's another item right there. So you can imagine already, some people said they didn't have the right permits. Well, that could be or not be. So there's so much stacked against him, plus one illegal thing he'd already done. And obviously, you know, there are, by the way, I'm not an anti-hunter. I'm not a hunter. But, you know, as far as conservation, the dollars that go into this, I'm not talking about trophy hunting right now. I'm talking about hunting in general throughout the world. Millions, trillions of dollars goes into it to help protect animals as well. So this whole thing, as you said, is a very difficult situation. But right now, I think if you have lions, as far as hunting lions in Zimbabwe, that's one place we all know the country of Zimbabwe, the issues they have right now are beyond abominable.
Let me just ask you about Dr. Palmer. I mean, you've outlined it clearly in your view. He did something very wrong here and had to know he was doing something wrong. Zimbabwe's asked for him to be extradited. What do you think should happen to him?
Well, let's put it this way. Several years ago, I don't know the exact year, you could look it up, a gentleman was in Yellowstone and took the animal, killed the animal, put him back in the pickup. He got very hefty fines, as well as my understanding is, as yesterday, 4 or so years in prison. That was because of an elk in our own country in Yellowstone National Park. And there have been several other instances like that as well. So what should happen is, as far as extraditing him to Zimbabwe, if you know much about Zimbabwe, probably not someplace.
But you think he should be punished? Do you think that Dr. Palmer could go to jail for this?
Yeah, I think every good hunter would agree that something has to happen here. And the doctor must know himself something has to happen here, because that's not what good hunters do by any means. So the point is, yes, something has to be an issue here, because that is totally inaccurate. In other words, what he says, he didn't know anything. He had to know some of these four points I just pointed out. You just can't drag a carcass over there, an animal from one protected side to another, and shoot him like they're like a cow.
Never happened. I'm scared of them. I don't know about that. Animals,
grunt and squeak and squawk every damn animals. And they could talk to us.
A US dentist who killed a lion in Zimbabwe says he regrets shooting the well-known animal. In a written statement, Walter Palmer insists that he thought he was on a legal hunt and that he deeply regrets his actions.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's your boy LD, a.k.a. Firm Handshake. The Lion King, I bounced with my dad, and I was thinking, like, if a thug told the story of the Lion King, how would it go? So, it'd be like this, I think. Now look at all these motherfuckers out on Pride Rock. Lot of livestock thinkers cause Sarabi ride cock. Cause she did once, cause they celebrated Simba. Lil Cup, everybody got a meal. Cause deal was, lions were some motherfuckers. Some real thugs, and the fear of being turned into a meal was such a fright, yo. But on the real, they hella nice though. This specific pack of lions acting like some white folks. But Africa's full of brothers, one is Uncle Scar. And that motherfucker wasn't nothing funny, Sonny Hard. And he mad too, cause he just wanna be the man too. First it was his brother, now another king is brand new. Baboon drawing on the tree, you dig? There's something freaky about Rafiki, bet his weed legit. That motherfucker monkey doesn't need comedians. The reason is, he laughing at the breeze and shit. It's weird. Alright, now back to the plot. Mufasa was a wonderful father, he loved him a lot. And Simba wanted to impress him every second he got. The youngin' was taught, but then one afternoon he forgot. That's when he hollered at Nala to follow the Bala, to crawl up in the squalor where all of the lawless acknowledge his father. But they never gave a fuck about a little bitty pup. Aw shucks, they gon' need this motherfucker up until his dad came through and smacked them bitches in the head. Coulda had him dead, but he let him run away instead. Now he really mad at dude. He cute when he sad though, and the simple truth, Simba doing what his dad do. Ish. Now that's some real talk, homie. But he can't own them fields with them little paws, homie. And real dogs only bark at bitches when they gotta do. Taught him to think when he at the line like an audible. And now the part I abhor, Lil Simba chillin' with a chameleon perfecting his roar. Could've been a gecko, but they echoed effect in the gorge. Was accidental, but you know what's in store, the stampede scene. Hey, and he was all up on the stick, gotta hold a grip. Simba, you done got up in some fish. But his dad came through, and he saved the man. But as he climbed with them wounds, Moo raised his hands. But dude, his brother on some motherfucker. Scarface, Scarface, lit up like a motherfucker. Star in space, hard place, and a rock, Mufasa. So caught up in between that. That's his brother, but that brother was a mean cat. And when he threw him off the ledge, Simba couldn't believe that that motherfucker was dead. Tears being shed, Scar got up in his head. More dread for the boy, so he ran away and fled. Timon and Pumbaa time, the young cub grown up. What a beautiful line, they grub bugs, cub nuts. Hitting puberty while the voice the change up. Ferris Bueller style, you're not. And they was trying to eat a beetle. A lion came through trying to dine hella regal. Then Pumbaa got stuck, about to get his ass cut. But then Simba stepped up and defended like a thug do. Rolling around, he realized who it was to. Holler back at Nala like, what's up, boo? Hug smooth, confused. Nala looking pretty, titties done grew. But cute, he about to love a song. Then he nuzzled from the back and he cut off from the front. He was really macking John. She all up on his junk. You can see me jacking off the scene, believe that. Young me, fucking around with cats, I need that. To recap, lot of feedback, Simba react, the fam need that. But your man can't be back, he just wanna do his thing, you dig? But he the king, even though he wasn't feeling it. Until he met up with the monkey, what a funky junkie, but he spunky. Told that mother lying about his country and he ran back. Pride Rock got his man back, but damn, the whole land hella ransacked. And then he saw Scar with his mom, so Robbie looking hella wan. Hidden Simba looked on, and Scar did her like a dog. Hit her hard with his palm, for real, dog. Alright, you f***ing with the god now. Long growl, pimping handle business like a boss now. Toss down, talking this shit. Simba about to cause clown. Scar tell the youngin' that he killed his pops, though. For real, motherfucker, he revealed his hops, bro. And clocked on that motherfucker. Sucker with a cross, rocked uncle with a couple. Then he sunk him with a toss. He don't play that shit.
brothers in lacrosse, real talk. The dogs done finished them off, and Pride Rock was back where it started at. The meals backfields packed with the hardest cats, for real, Jack. The animals is feeling that. The real is back, and I just spit the realest rat, you know. And Simba must have hit it hella freaky, gotta keep it PG, but you see Rafiki with the peewee, baby, that right there, meanie murkin' it right, the dope pipe, but that's just the circle of life.
Great heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever.
Very powerful stuff, what more do you want?
In a biplane, dogfighter, hence an invention. Troopers versus the result of Dragon Ball Z, Speed Racer, gene splicing. My force, blind the extorted style from the common dirty destiny, dream sighting, important to split the fritz. God shit the planet, screaming, what on earth is that? I split back five dimensions. Only the mostly overcooked specimen, bending tragic fatality, successful dodging bollocks. Four Hail Marys and hello, Dolly. Well, I'm so ridiculous, indigenous to now. Who holds the fifth golden ticket? Toward a wicked war, Banner Mansion, beyond the pickets. Next door, when a stickball clears the fence, y'all hesitate to fetch it. I was walking through a pinball till built landscape, pterodactyl circling turtle. I bite the bullet and I wingspan shadow, suck and bust the oxygen gulps, spit the metal correctly back off the barrel. We ain't gorilla silhouettes, right. The common decency factors are low ball estimate of zero. My testament is striking B-boy stances, dancing past the foggy mirror. When wiped clean, the Billy Goat beard camouflage spirit. I've met 6 degrees of sexy sarcasm, yet never swam up inside summer gym classic. Another bent backwards bastard scouring the carnival grounds for an outlet. Who the fuck is Ace Rock? I'm not a name to keep at arm's length, adjacent to little Rhino's quilt makeshift sick security mechanism. Check your mission. I am not a vision. Check your mission. Just a simple sour patch delinquent. No, I will not help you shove your link. I alone settle. Free innovation for the kids. Brick foot, iron lung, honor. Escape through the night like a disgruntled team Krylon bomber. Without a care aside from posting the roster. Maladjusted blank face civilian dispersed feelings. Reeling in several separate defunct fame booster modules. This nervous twitch mark the most delectable ingredient. The ASAP starving troopers and cell blocks with strap on feeding bins. Like I'd auction off a pump in that blind cause you riding. I'd rather find the floors and watch you hide. I feel the hacker look penetrate brain capsule blasting clear out the back of this batch's sour wit collection. Flash flutter. You're a minimal wind-up toy, a goddamn fourth-string criminal trading card. The reason they decorate the font of closing credits to boost on look of amusement after fading hard. To catch more Z's than Rip Van Winkle's 12-step narcolepsy seminar. Action. You'll compete the math, the loot, and a common folk. I provoke them all. Challenge dirty balance. I elope with talent while they fidget. If the revolution ain't gonna be televised, then I'll probably miss it. I alone settle.
GoFindTheOthers.com.
Well, that was conceptually adventurous.